Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. It's a beautiful day, by the way. Had a stress EKG. Guess what? I have a heart. I didn't know that. I mean, so many people think I don't. My dog knows I have one. The technician said, come and look at your Doppler. There's your heart beating in digital. I said, that's pretty amazing. I said, many people don't think I have one. He said, you really have one. I said, well, my dog knows it, as I just said. Anyway, you know, I got to tell you something. I come out of the stress EKG. I go outside. It was a beautiful day out here. And I made a prayer to God. I said, simple. I said, thank you for giving me this life and my family. Bingo. Is that so hard? It was a beautiful moment. Does that make me religious? I don't know what it makes me. All I can tell you is thank God for everything. Even thank God for Barack Obama, because I think America's flirtation with communism will finally produce the salvation that we've all been looking for. This will, in history, if we should survive this gangster, if we should survive this corruption, if we should survive the most criminal administration in American history, $1.2 billion in more guaranteed solar loans to one of the criminals that he put on the Jobs Council. I've never seen anything like it. It's a banana republic. It's lower than Chavez's country. That's what's happened under this faker. And you let him get away with it. I can't help you. I can't help you anymore. I've done all I can do. It's taken its toll on me. I hope it hasn't taken its toll on you. But I got to tell you something. After this flirtation with communism, this faker, this communist faker, America is going to come to its senses. We're going through a class war. Make no mistake about it. Oh, yes. You're living through a war right now. You're living through a revolution. You've got the Tea Party movement on the one side. You got the Occupy Wall Street vermin on the other. You got to ask yourself, why does the left attack private capital with such passion? The answer is, well, there's a class war. But as Spengler in the Asian Times says, it's not the sort of class war that you read about in the mainstream press. Because the truly indigent, the young African-American men, most of whom are now unemployed, have little to do in this class war. And large corporations, for the most part, are bystanders as well. They will make their peace with whoever wins the battle. This is a war of survival between the productive middle class on the one hand, the members of the Tea Party, and the dependents of the state on the other. The drug, sex, and rock and roll unemployable bums who think that a government job will save them, or they should be made the CEO of a corporation after smoking dope in a dirty, filthy park and having sex with vagrants. But the fact of the matter is taxes are killing us, and the reason taxes are killing us is because this is the most corrupt administration in history, which follows the second most corrupt administration in history, which is George Bush's war spending and the government contracting, in my estimation. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The reason I played Victory at Sea is because I am victorious. I am victorious. You may think I don't exist, and yet my best-selling books, including a novel. Look, I wrote a novel, right? Oh, you wrote a novel. You wrote a novel. Why, that's my purloin. That's not yours. 6-7 weeks on the New York Times list. How does it happen? If I'm never mentioned on any of the blogs, if I'm never allowed on any shows, including the Faux News Network, how is it that my show keeps surging? And what do you mean your show is surging? That's nonsense, Savage. Well, I just got the data. My ratings just went up again, another 27% in streaming talk radio. What does streaming mean? It means people don't listen to this show on a radio, but people listen to this show via the internet or on a, I guess, on a cell phone. So they did a ratings analysis of the 25 streaming talk shows. You know what they concluded? This is not my headline. It's there. Superstar Savage skyrockets 27%. Limbaugh plateaus. Levin flatlines. He was flatlined at birth. Hannity dips. Well, there's only how many years you're going to pick up a hammer. If I had a hammer, I'd also dip after a while. My forearm would hurt. Bennett drops. Bennett has never even started. Bortz is a bore. Because, of course, Kudlow, never heard of him. There it is. Michael Savage has a 10.8 share, up 27.1% for October. Limbaugh is at a plus 0.8%. He's a flatliner. I am number two in the talk stream area, which is a big deal for me, and it explains a lot. It actually explains why my books sell, even though I'm basically not heard of in the mainstream media. Why? I don't know. I'm not heard of, but I am not heard of. I mean, yesterday we had a story about Kane being smeared by the vermin in the media, right? And I said, even if it's true that he said something to a woman at work or he said something to two women at work, that should disqualify him? I mean, should that disqualify Kane? I said he's the great black hope. Now, that should have been a statement heard around the world. I've said a lot of other things. I've said a lot of other things that people have appropriated, but that's the way the world is, and I've gotten used to it. If you're a wordsmith, you're going to have your words ripped off. That's the name of the game, and I'm not complaining about it. But I got a question for you. Why are my ratings on the streaming area skyrocketing while Russia's stagnating? You know, I have people who said to me, well, of course you're number two in streaming data. Why? Well, because your show isn't on all the stations like Rush's are. Well, if Rush's on all the stations, then why is he number one? He should be zero or number 26. In other words, if Rush is heard on every station in America, which he is, the big stations, ABC, right? Former ABC, now a Citadel Cumulus. You would think, why listen to him on the stream if he could be heard in every city? And yet people do. And he's got a monster 16.8 share, but he's flatlining, right? But if I'm not on the major cities, I'm on in New York on WOR, beautiful station, big market, okay? It's a big market. It's my biggest station. And yet I still have a 10.8 share, it went up 27% the ratings in the streaming. Why am I surging in streaming? I have my own ideas as to why. And it's related to the TSL October trend report. Those of you in the radio business know what TSL is. It used to be the most important sub-factor in ratings, but it was eliminated in order to placate certain demographics, which have very low time spent listening. Let's put it to you that way. People with minimal attention spans who listen to music and stuff of that nature flip around the dials much more than do people who listen to talk radio. Time spent listening used to be a component of ratings. And what happened was they jigged up the ratings, and they jiggled them around so much to make certain that conservative talk shows would go down. That's all. The economics of polarization. We have an irrational nation. We're going through a communist revolution on one hand. We have a war between the productive middle class, which is me and you, and the dependence of the state on the other. It's an interesting story. I suggest we talk about it at another time. It's too complicated, I think, for talk radio. My instincts say the headline is enough. I'd rather talk about testing for STDs in Zucchini Park. The drug, sex, and rock and rollers in these Occupy movements, who God answered our prayer with the snowstorm in New York. They went home with the sniffles. But before they went home to mommy in Brooklyn and Queens and New Jersey to regroup before their next attack in the spring when things straight after they get through the winter, they stopped at a free clinic, normally for bums and indigents, to get testing for herpes, HIV, because they've been apparently doing things in the tents that have nothing to do with organizing, community organizing. It has to do with another aspect of humanity. Testing for STDs in Zucchini Park, which confirms what my mother said, that sex is dirty. I told that to a doctor the other day. I was at a dance club. I went to a Latin dance club on Sunday. I met a guy I know. I see him every once in a while. He's a great guy. I love him. This guy, if you ever met him, you'd never believe this guy. Tall, thin, musician, dancer, mambo nick, and also a very highly decorated combat veteran from Vietnam. He was written about. Very few people know him. In fact, I love this guy so much that I'm going to make him a main character in the sequel to Abuse of Power. I mean, Tony Antonori's in Abuse of Power, right? He's a former Green Beret medic who helps Jack, blah, blah, blah. He's a great character. But now that I met this guy, who's a musician, a dancer, an emergency room doctor, and a phenomenal warrior, this guy is a great guy, okay? But he's not like me. We're very different in some ways. So I started to tell him stories about, I don't know how it came up. I said, you know, my mother always said sex was dirty. He started to laugh hysterically. He reminded me of a guy that, I remember when my father-in-law was dying in a hospital in New York. Great guy, World War II Navy veteran. Wonderful man, you know. He also died too young, father-in-law. He was he had cancer. He was in like a hospital on the border of Queens and Brooklyn. I have a big hospital there where they all go. You know, it's like the elephant burial grounds. And he was a quiet man, my father-in-law. And he was of Christian heritage, the father-in-law. And this guy loved to listen to a Jewish guy in the death ward, as it were. I hate to say it that way, but that's where it all ended up, who was a storyteller. All of these Christian men loved listening to the Jewish guy who was laughing in death's face, telling them one joke after another. And it reminded me of me at the dance hall the other night with this guy. He was cracking up. So when I said to him, I don't know how it came up. Probably it was a sexist remark about one of the girls, to be honest. That's what men basically talk about. And that's the way it is. So I said something to him, well, you know what? My mother was right. Sex is dirty. I can't even tell you the context in which it came up, but you can pretty much figure it out. He laughed hysterically. He said, your mother was absolutely right. I said, she said it. I said, she actually said it on the radio show many years ago. People cracked up to this day. They sent me emails about it. And we have a real, real treat for you on the Savage Nation today, which is the original tape, not of my mother saying sex is dirty. I don't think she said that on the air. It was an incredible phone call 7-8 years ago, which we got to talk about later on. Anyway, I got so many things. I'm so filled with stories and reality and politics that I can't just sit here and read you the news, views, and reviews. I'm going to give you the whole gestalt of it, all rolled up in one ball, which is what I'm famous for, free association. Let's start with a quick caller right now. WOR New York City, Rob, thanks for calling. What's on your mind? Why are you calling?
My mind is your ratings are going up because you're a genius of the 21st century.
All right, that's pretty. Naturally, I like hearing that.
Well, I'm not trying to patronize you. You know, I just started listening to you recently. My brother recommended me. I watched a couple of clips on YouTube, and right away, I have people insulting and attacking me. How could you listen in? I said, this guy's brilliant. It's like we're twins separated at birth. I mean,
well, that's right. They always attack what they're jealous of. You got to understand that the world is built upon a number of foundations, including negative foundations, and one of the negative foundations is jealousy, and jealousy drives a lot of rage. That's why they're attacking Herman Cain as well. They're jealous of his popularity. They cannot believe a man as simple and plain-talking as Herman Cain could be surging in such popularity, so they're smearing him. You know, I mean, I've been subject to it as well. By the way, have you had a chance to read my book, Abuse of Power, yet?
I want to read that, and the liberalism is a mental disorder also. I'm looking to get my hands on.
Well, I'm going to send you Abuse of Power, since that's what I'm talking about today, as well as Trickle Up Poverty, which is a great book. Treadmill Stress Test from Dr. W. from Michael Savage has ordered a stress test on November 1st, 2011, 12 noon. So at the end of the stress test, the doctor said, I stopped him when I was at 70% of my, 150, my heart rate. I didn't want to go to 150. He said, do you exercise regularly? I said, I bicycle every day. I said, but I never get my heart rate up. He said, what? I said, yeah, I've been doing it for like 60 years. I've been bicycling since I could walk. Over 60 years, as a matter of fact. He says to me, oh, no. He said, in order to get cardiovascular fitness, blah, blah, blah. And he gives me the standard AMA view, which is that you got to push yourself and sweat and have your heart pounding and think you're going to die of a heart attack in order to get cardio. So I said very quietly, I said, look, my father died very young. My grandfather died very young. I said, to me, each day is a victory and a miracle. I have a different philosophy about exercise, and it's more along the lines of the Asian philosophy, which is never, ever push your body past a certain point, slowly and gradually. Okay, I said, I bicycle until my body is warm, or I swim until my body is warm. I don't swim until my heart is thumping. He said, well, you really ought to, blah, blah, blah. He goes into it. So I'm more into the Zen thing of it, if you want to put it in that 60s context. As I was leaving, I'll make it quick. The technician in the room says to me, he says, you know how many young guys we see in their 30s here who are triathletes, whose hearts and valves are shot from pushing themselves too much with enlarged hearts? I said, all. He said, basically all of them. Listen, you don't do that to a human body. It was not designed for that. The human body is designed for something entirely different, moderate exercise. Don't push yourself. You're gonna stroke out or you're going to get a heart attack. At least that's my view of it. And why do I have that view? A, I've studied it. B, it's intuitive. And C, take a look at how many young guys in their 30s have dropped dead from extreme exercise. I'll be right back. The dirtbag who accused Kane wants to tell her side of the story, but the dirtbag who collected a healthy sum, allegedly, from the National Restaurant Association because Kane probably said she had a nice body, big deal, is saying, oh, boo-hoo, I'm barred by a confidentiality agreement, said her vermin lawyer in Washington. Lawyer Joel P. Bennett, another smear artist, in my opinion, is calling on the National Restaurant Association, where the vixen worked, in the late 1990s, remember this happened over 12 years ago, okay, to release the woman from her written promise not to talk about the allegations or disparage the trade group. Oh, you mean take the money, sign a confidentiality, and then come out and try to make more money? See, this is the way the world works if you're a lawyer. You lie to everybody about everything at all times. That's what they teach them at Harvard. Look within your own family for your first lawsuit. That's what they teach them at Harvard in their senior year. When they get out of Harvard Law School, the last seminar that they teach him is look within your own family for your first case. I know this for a fact because we had a distant relative who unfortunately went to Harvard and came out with that mentality. Florida, Mickey, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hi there, Michael. I'm sure that the reason you are so proud of your book is because you have created a work of art as opposed to nonfiction. I'm a Mickey the painter. I'm a painter. So
yes.
when you create a work of art, you have a special kind of pride that more than a work of nonfiction.
That's true. Let me talk about that for a minute. I've written many, over 20 nonfiction books. My nonfiction books are distinguished by the fact that they're crafted very, very well, but they're not art in that sense. The novel is a whole different picture, as you well know, because you've got to paint pictures rather than state facts. And some of the pages in my book, Abuse of Power, are fine art. Not the entire book, because I'm going to get there with the next one. But some of them are real fine art, Mickey. Thank you for that compliment.
Savage.
A Baltimore woman claims she was raped in tent campsite. She said it's supposed to be a good organization, but it isn't. No one helped her. Duh. I mean, you laid down with the lousy, you're going to get lice. Didn't your mother teach you that? What do you expect to find there in Zucchini Park? And so that's what's going on. So they're all going for STD testing now on their way home to New Jersey and Brooklyn and Queens for the winter break. They've had their 30 days in the tents. Now you understand why they're unemployed, don't you? You understand why these people in the tents are unemployed. They have all of the wrong attitudes and no skills. That's why they're unemployed, by the way. 1-800-449-8255. You don't want to talk about that either. It's like a flat line today. Superstar Savage skyrockets. Limbaugh plateaus. Groucho flatlines. Wallbanger dips. I won't read the rest of them because many of you don't know them, but that's good. It's good. I'm happy about it. What is it going to do for me? You know, that they used to have a statement that in a dollar will get you into a subway. So it's not that it's going to put money in my pocket or, you know, I'm going to go home tonight and a dog's going to lick me more. It's a certain victory within my own head, which it just confirms what I suspect is true. That although I'm unknown to the media because they want to block me out, the people know me. They know who I am. I'm an entity. I have written the most brilliant books of anybody in the radio business. There are others who have outsold my books, but they're not as brilliant. My books are far more brilliant, and that's because I bring to it a lot of work and a lot of detail and a lot of verification, like trickle-up poverty. I spelled out Obamacare. I told you that the waivers would sink Obamacare when it hit the Supreme Court. Now you had Nancy Pelosi having the nerve to say the 1,800 waivers don't matter. Unbelievable. I could have predicted that eventually Obamacare will go up in smoke in large part because it was corrupt from the beginning, unconstitutional from the beginning. But there is so much more to what is going on. The corruption has never been this bad. This is the most corrupt administration in American history. It doesn't matter what the media is not telling you. Just look at the facts of what this man has done to this country. He's even boasting that he's gotten 60% of his communist agenda already across. I agree with him. 60% of the socialist communist agenda has already been imposed on the American people, with a little help from the vermin in the media and the corrupt business community, particularly those in the fake green energy community. And let me be clear about the green energy. Who hasn't dreamed of a car that runs on sunlight? I've dreamed of it since I'm a child. I have muscle cars, I have regular cars, I have vans, et cetera. But I'd like to have a hydrogen car. They don't exist. I think 50 years from now we might have one. So you're saying, well, why don't you agree then that the government should fund it? That's what socialist governments do. Don't you remember when America was still a capitalist nation, in large part, how we groused about the fact that the Concorde jet was built through a French-British government consortium of money, and it was an unfair competition for Boeing, which was a private enterprise company. Remember those days? Those arguments are not even being discussed anymore. You assume that a state should now fund a private business? Why? Why should a state fund a private business, especially when that private business consists of people who've given money to the government, meaning Obama? It's corruption. It's graft. Don't you see that? If you can't see it, then you're blind. New York, WOR, Chris, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, I think your success on the internet streaming piece is really centered around the fact that you just make sense. I had my 14-year-old daughter listen to the stream on what Jesus occupies at Cotty Park. She listened to it intently. I sat there with her. After it was over, I said to her, what do you think? You know what she says to me, Dr. Savage? She goes, Dad, it just makes sense. This is a 14-year-old. This is why your numbers are going through the roof, because you just make sense, Dr. Savage.
I try to. I try to use logic. I've been trained in Aristotelian methods. I've been trained in the reality of science, scientific method, and logic, something that's sorely missing in the media, I would assume. They're using fake figures and emotion and no reality to what they're saying. So I think people – Hemingway said it best. I think it was Hemingway said the truth has a certain ring to it. I think Hemingway wrote that. He was a man to try to write as succinctly as possible as a former journalist. And he wrote that the truth has a certain ring to it. I think it's true in talk radio or in common language between people. I really do. And I hope that people understand that I'm doing this because I'm trying to get the truth out there before it's too late, before we wake up with a monster that we can never get rid of, a monkey on our back that we cannot get rid of, the monkey of socialism. Once it becomes an addiction to the extent as it had become in the ex-Soviet Union, you can't get the monkey off your back without a bloody revolution. And that's not what any of us want. You know, I would send you a copy of Abuse of Power for your daughter, but I'm not going to do it because there are four real sex scenes in it, and I don't think it's appropriate for a 14-year-old. There's nothing F about it. There's no dirty words in it. You know what I'm saying? But it's not for a child to read. It's for a man. I'll send it to you. Don't let your daughter see it. Well, no, I mean, it's part of life. I think the sex scenes are very good, but I didn't write it for the sex scenes. I mean, the dog show is a good scene, too. The Cow Palace dog show, I love that one. I loved the dog show. So they're at a dog show, and Jack and Sarah meet Senator Wickham. And they're looking at all different dogs, right? There's all sorts of poodles, Irish wolfhounds, Boykin Spaniels, German Wirehead Pointers, Great Danes, Mastiffs, Rottweilers, from large to small, fluffy to nearly hairless, all magnificent in their own way. This is page 276 of Abuse of Power. The best of the best on display. An Irish wolfhound caught Jack's attention, a breed he had always admired for its beauty and fearlessness. They were known to hunt wolves in packs. Now, here's a great line. Listen to this. There were also Turkish sheepdogs. Their gigantic spiked iron anti-wolf collars displayed beside them as they got to their feet. These Anatolian shepherd dogs hid among the sheep, giving an attacking wolf a huge surprise when they bit into their iron collars. Jack had long been a dog lover, and seeing a gray poodle parade proudly across the floor made him instantly miss Eddie. It's interesting. So then they go to the seat and they meet Senator Harold Wickham, by the way. It's a very important story. And so then Jack looks at Wickham's bodyguard, who didn't seem to approve of him. In a way, it was fitting. Jack just found out what it was like to be a Muslim under suspicion. Jack noted curiously that the bodyguard had what looked like a laser pointer clipped to the breast pocket of his jacket and wondered what it was for. Well, those of you who've read the book know what it's for. So let me just... Here's a cute part of it. I'll speed up to 278, then we'll go back to regular programming. Did you know that a Newfoundland once saved Napoleon Bonaparte from drowning when he fell off a ship? Napoleon didn't know how to swim, but Newfoundlands are notorious for their affinity with water. After the rescue, Napoleon himself was supposed to have said, "Here, gentlemen, a dog teaches us a lesson in humanity." Wickham chuckled. "Indeed. Loyalty," Wickham went on. "That's what it's all about. You know the story about Grey Friars Bobby, don't you, Jack?" Jack nodded, but the senator pointed to a waiting group of Skye Terriers and continued. Grey Friars became famous in 19th century Edinburgh after reportedly spending 14 years guarding over the grave of his owner, John Grey. A year after this loyal little dog died himself in 1873, a statue and fountain were built in the Scottish capital to remember him. "I know the story well," Jack said with a nod, "from the 1961 Disney film about that angel with fur called Grey Friars Bobby." Wickham smiled warmly. "Saw it as a boy, made me what I am today. I don't just mean the dog lover. I mean the concept of loyalty, dedication, no matter the inconvenience or cost. Without it, you're nothing." Jack was enjoying the conversation, but had more pressing matters on hand. "Senator, we need to talk about the hand of Allah." And I'll stop right there. This book is about one man who tries to stop the next 9/11, which is going to be conducted in America by the hand of Allah. Okay, 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Illinois, Jason, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to say that I think your view of the protesters is wrong. I think that capitalism actually is an evil system, and I'm not saying that socialism is the answer, but there ought to be something better than...
There ought to be. And what would that be, since neither system works? What system would work? Trading corn for cars?
Bartering would work better than this.
Bartering. What do you have to barter, Jason? Jason, what do you have to barter? Jason, stop. What do you have to barter for the electric that comes into your house?
Nothing, really. But if we got
So therefore you don't like the system because you're a loser in it.
No, I don't like the system.
Well, you're a loser in the system, so you don't like it. You're one of those who want the government to hold you by the hand and give you a handout. I understand why you want communism. But if you remember what communism did in the ex-Soviet Union, there was massive starvation and deprivation. Didn't you learn that in school, Jason?
It's getting ready to happen here, under capitalism.
Oh, Jason, please. It didn't happen here, Jason. Jason, there's no hunger in America. Nobody's shivering to death at night for lack of warmth. Don't give me that garbage. You've got a warm bed to go to at night, don't you?
I do. 50,000 factories.
Wait, don't give me statistics. Who provides that electric for you in that heat, Jason?
Somebody in a coal-fired power plant somewhere.
Uh-huh. And that's polluting, isn't it?
Well, it is.
It's polluting the environment. It's polluting that evil coal-fired plant.
Oh, so we should just sit in our house.
Yeah. Well, maybe the wind coming out of your mouth can be harvested and harnessed to warm you up underneath your parka.
So we should all just...
Well, Jason, what world do you live in? Tell me what world you live in. You live in a world of delusion. You're living in a warm house. You're not hungry, right? And someone is providing you with the heat, the electricity, the running water, police services, fire services. If you fall down, God forbid, you get to a hospital for free. All of that costs something. Who do you think is paying for it, Jason?
Me. I pay for it.
You pay for all of it?
For most of it. My taxes go to pay for roads, my insurance that I have through my job pays for my health care.
So you do work. Well, welcome to the working poor. What percent of your taxes are federal?
I probably pay a good fourth of my income in taxes total. I don't know what goes to where, state.
Do you earn less than or more than $30,000 a year?
More than. Double that, actually.
You earn about $60,000 a year. So you're in the lower quartile of federal taxation. Do you know who pays the majority of federal taxes?
Mm-mm.
Yes or no?
No.
The majority of federal taxes are paid by the rich. Did you know that or not?
No, that's good. That's the way it should be.
And did you know that the poor pay no federal taxes?
They don't pay federal taxes per se.
That's right. They pay no federal taxes. And do you know that 53% of the American people pay the majority of all the taxes, and 47% pay no federal taxes? You think that's a fair system, that nearly one out of two workers should pay no taxes?
Is it fair that 400 people
are... No, don't change the argument. Is it fair that one out of two pay no taxes? Is it fair that General Electric pays no income tax on $5.3 billion in earnings, and they get away with it because Jeffrey Immelt of GE works for Obama in the some jobs council or whatever? Do you think that's fair?
No, that's not fair, but one out of two.
Do you think it's fair that Obama grants another $1.2 billion in free loans to a crony in the solar energy business because the man donates money to him? You can't admit that that's fair. I mean, you wouldn't say that that's fair, would you, Jason?
I'm not a fan of Obama or any of these people in there.
Good. I'm glad. You're not as bad as you sounded originally. That's all. Let's move on. Fresno, California. Scott, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I was just going to comment on the reason your popularity is soaring. I personally believe that it's because you are the evolution of talk radio.
Evolutionary in what? In what sense?
Just the evolution. Yeah, I started listening to the soft sell talk shows, the number one spot, the guy with the chalkboards. I've listened to quite a few of them over the years, and realistically anymore, the only show I really care to listen to is yours.
I like to hear that, and I think each show has its own fan base. But when you said something that caught our attention, though. You say I'm evolutionary in talk radio. I'd like to understand why, what you mean by evolution in talk radio. In what sense?
Well, I just believe that your approach to the way you communicate with us out here and the general public, sometimes you feel like talking politics. Sometimes you feel like talking about your dog.
Okay, so it's a different method of getting across a political message.
Exactly.
Yes, okay, I could buy that. And sometimes I can't take politics for another second. Scott, I'm sending you a free copy of Abuse of Power. I want to mention something before I take this break. I got to tell you this, and, you know, I don't often do this. In fact, I've never done it. I have a couple of boats. One of them is an outboard, a runabout, like a 10-foot rubber boat, right? And it was bought brand new in 2007, and it had a 40-horsepower Yamaha engine on it. It never, ever worked right. Now, partly to blame was me because I didn't use it. I didn't know that if they sit, the gas gums up the jets in the carburetor. I just didn't know that, right? Nevertheless, it was fixed. They replaced the carburetors. It still didn't run right. It gummed up. I complained to Yamaha outboard once. I got to tell you, you got to hear this. You want to know what a good company is? And they don't pay for this advertising. I'm almost reluctant to do it, but I have to do it. Do you know that Yamaha outboard replaced that carbureted engine with a brand new fuel-injected engine? Which runs, I never saw anything like this. They didn't have to do it. That's a $5,000-$7,000 engine. It was out of warranty. There was negligence on my part because I didn't run it enough. I didn't run it once a month. I didn't put in some stuff you have to put in to keep the fuel from gumming up. I got to tell you, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. And the reason I'm saying this to you is that not only because I gained from Yamaha in the sense of a new engine, but because there are companies that take pride in their product and stick by their product. That's what I'm getting at. This is capitalism, my friends. Go try to get a replacement motor from a Soviet-era car manufacturer, as so many idiots would like to see in America. A state-run... Can you imagine a state-run bureaucracy replacing an engine that didn't work right 2 years after the warranty ran out? I'll be right back.
Savage.
Great article called Lord of the Flies in Zuccotti Park, which I've named Zucchini Park. They're now fighting amongst themselves against freeloaders and ex-cons for stealing their stuff and spoiling their utopia. They're squabbling with each other over money and power. Their invasion is costing downtown Manhattan businesses and residents a boatload of money. But watching the Occupy Wall Street vagabonds bang their heads against the laws of human nature, that's priceless. And he goes into it, and he talks about the Lord of the Flies' descent from utopia to petty power struggles in front of TV cameras. being a political science lesson, not to mention deliciously ironic. Running a protest movement apparently involves a lot of dirty work, and it isn't so much fun. They keep insisting that there are no leaders and that everybody has a say on everything, but it's all nonsense. Cash is piled up to a reported level of $500,000 on deposit. The cash marks an embarrassment for a movement supposedly railing against capitalism and wealth, especially now that a radical group called the Alliance for Global Justice is legally sponsoring the protest. They lent their tax-exempt status for a 7% cut, and the Global Justice Group allows donors to deduct their contributions to the Zucconi, to the Parksters, and gives its own board control over the money. And yet we're on the road to serfdom. If you read any of this, you understand where this is going. The causes are all over the map. You may not know this. Most of it is anti-American, of course, but it's also anti-Jewish, pro-Hamas. You didn't know any of that. Tell your daughter to be very careful who she lays in bed with in a tent. It's a pro-Hamas. Some of that, some of the folks in the tent support the Venezuela's Hugo Chavez, who is one of the worst people on the planet. There's a lot to look into in the Global Justice site, because you cannot believe the causes these people are talking about. And hunger strikes in California prisons, denouncing the CIA, denouncing oil companies, an alliance with anarchists against the wall, which contests Israel's security barrier in the West Bank. So it's all over the map. And yet, you have to understand that this is the road to serfdom, as warned, as we were warned by Hayek in The Road to Serfdom, that socialism morphs into totalitarianism as central governments grab ever more power. There's a lot more to be read here on The Savage Nation about these vermin in the gutters. They are very dangerous. You could dismiss them and laugh at them, but recognize we're going through a communist revolution under the communist in chief Obama.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Savage Nation. Superstar Savage soars in the webcasting area. And what's his name? I almost called him Obama. Rush Flatline. Why did I almost say Obama when I said Rush? Why did I associate Rush with Obama? I don't get it. He certainly opposes Obama. At least he appears to. I mean, the scripts he reads every day would lead us to believe he opposes Obama. But I don't know who I'm going to wake up to tomorrow saying what. We're living in a strange time where so many people are shifting alliances because they see which way the wind blows, that yesterday's conservative could be tomorrow's Obama supporter. Because it's been happening, by the way. If you look very, you listen very carefully to Fox News, since Murdoch got in trouble with the scandal, with with the eavesdropping in England, and then the Obama went after him here, they moved all the way over, you know, almost touching hands with Obama on so many policies. Not entirely, of course, but it's happening in talk radio as well. I don't think I've changed in I change in areas where I think it's worth changing. But just to change to survive is not necessarily smart, because then what do you stand for? What are your principles? Where's the truth in that? You know what I'm saying? And in that sense, I would have to say that I'm not a Buddhist who is seeking nirvana by ridding myself of all forms of desire. Nor am I really from the Greek school to see and know fearlessly and rightly. Actually, maybe closer to the Greek school than anything else. I'm not Greek by heritage. I don't even like lamb. And I do work for a living. But the Greeks taught, it was an injunction to see and know fearlessly and rightly.
And the Hebrews commanded to fear God and accomplish righteousness. Now, I wouldn't associate independent political views with knowing to fearing God and accomplishing righteousness. I would say an independent political orientation would be closer to the Greek injunction to see and know fearlessly and rightly. It has nothing to do with nirvana and Buddhism and to rid myself of all forms of desire. And many of the, you know, I'm going to make a jump now, but many of the bums in the parks who claim that they're occupying this, occupying that, are pretending to be somewhat along the lines of Buddhists, freeing themselves from all forms of desire in order to escape from the chagrins of life. But it's all a lie. It's all a charade. It's all part of this college mentality. You could see it. You could see it in everything that they do, from the sexcapades to the money that they're raising. Let's go to the callers. William in Sacramento, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi. Always enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I'm a student of Chinese medicine, not an expert.
Yes.
But according to Chinese medicine, each person measures their life is according to number of air, number of time that they inhale and exhale.
Hmm.
So.
Okay, so you're confirming that a man should not stress himself with too vigorous exercise, correct?
Yes, correct. And it's confirmed by the Chinese medicine for 3,000 years, 5,000 years, I don't know.
So, you know, well, look, William, what I was saying was I never believed that running to exhaustion was a good idea. I think it's a disastrous idea for the human body. And yet American doctors teach people now to get cardio to work out excessively until they sweat and they're panting. And I say it's absurd. It's wrong. I think you're saying that you agree with me.
Yes.
So what form of exercise do you use? The slow movement, the Tai Chi type of movement?
Yes, it's actually the Tai Chi type of movement, and they try to control their breathing during the exercise as slow as possible.
Oh, so in other words, the breathing should be slow so that you don't increase the amount of breaths.
Yes, and deep, so you get more oxygen into your system.
That's amazing. Yeah, I never really understood that. I knew that there was breathing involved with martial arts, but I never conceptualized that it was slow breathing. That's very intriguing. So, William, what kind of medicine do you teach it or practice it?
I'm still studying it. But actually, a lot of those are good Chinese doctors. They don't use medicine a lot. They use food.
I know they use food. The problem is most of the Chinese restaurants I eat in, I need a doctor after I get through. William, thanks for the call. I appreciate it very much. Well, oh, come on, I'm just pulling your leg. It's so greasy, your lips stick together. And I go to I keep going back to the same place. I complain about it, then I go, my lips, I need anti-glue to unglue my lips from the place I go to on Sansome Street. Don't tell them, they're nice people. I'm not going to go in there anymore. $16 for a seafood special? You need a microscope to find the four little, you know, the sewer shrimp. That's terrible. I shouldn't eat shrimp at all. I've sworn off it. Remember how many times I've told you I don't eat shrimp anymore? Then I wind up eating shrimp. It's like saying I don't watch HBO. I'm canceling it. Then I find myself watching it. There's certain things I can't do without. And I do like shrimp, but it's a dirty organism, truthfully. By the way, talking about food, I noticed that you want to see capitalism, everything tied up into one story. A guy invests, I think, $5 million in Las Vegas to build a shrimp farm, one of the largest shrimp farms in America, in the middle of the desert. And he's growing shrimp in artificial beds to supply the shrimp that is consumed in all of the big hotels in the Las Vegas Strip, which makes sense because shrimp cocktails are very popular. And the water is cleaner, when you think about it, than the imported shrimp, which comes from Asia, where the waters are polluted. Let's be clear. I reluctantly eat shrimp when I know it's from the Gulf of Mexico. And even there, all right, it's pre-oiled. I don't know how clean it is. I try to eat nothing with a shell on it, in truth. But I don't want to get into food at all, okay, because that's not an obsession of mine anymore. I'd rather talk about politics if you want. You want to talk about October trend report. Michael Savage's trend is up 27% in streaming talk radio. Limbaugh has flatlined. Groucho Marx has declined completely. Wallbanger has declined completely. It's very interesting. Why? I mean, why are the dynamics of the Savage Nation going up? You know, you wouldn't know it. I mean, no one calls me. No one says, come on the show for your opinion of talk radio. They have people you never heard of. And I've given up caring about it, truthfully. Yes, I'd like to be called more. Yes, I'd like them to say, conservatives said this about Herman Cain, and they would quote me because I said he's the great black hope. You would think someone would have picked up on it, but they haven't. You know, they just haven't picked up on it. I think it's a great line. I hope Herman Cain, you know, rides through this attack on him by the anti-black media. Make no mistake about it, this is an anti-black media that has finally found a method to attack a black man safely, which is on the issue of sex, because as you well know, there's a stereotype about black males and their sexual prowess. And what they're doing is the left-wing media is playing into that very stereotype. They are exploiting particularly white women's fear of black men. You know, you want me to really get into the psychodynamics of what they're doing to Herman Cain? They did the same exact thing, as you well know, to Clarence Thomas. And they're doing it again. What, Clarence Thomas read a Playboy at work? That's the worst they could come up with? And he looked at a woman and said, honey, you're beautiful? Wow, that really should have disqualified him. You know, really should have disqualified him. How about looking into Ruth Bader Ginsburg? Or how about looking into the two clowns that Obama appointed? The two unqualified clowns appointed because of their gender and race. They were never qualified to be on the Supreme Court. But you never heard one word about the two clowns that Obama picked out of the so-called Ivy League. Instead, they attacked this decent man. You know, I don't care whether or not he wins. I'd like him to win. I don't like what they're doing to him. It's unfair. Attack him for his policies, but they couldn't win. They couldn't get him on his tax plan. They tried to make a mockery of him until they realized that they were picking on him too much and he looked like a black man being picked on by the white vermin in the media. So now where are they going? With sexual claims. So what if the National Restaurant Association paid off some bimbos who said he looked at him and said, let's have a drink together. So what? That should disqualify him? How about the crimes and misdemeanors of Obama? How about the absolute crimes and misdemeanors of Obama that these rats in the media won't talk about? Now I'm getting too excited. I've just taken weeks, if not months, off my life, according to Asian medicine, because I've gotten my blood pressure up and my pulse rate is up. That's not good. So I think I have to go back to the Buddhist way of approaching the show, which is quiet, peaceful. I had to be quiet and peaceful now. I think I may become Dr. on Savage. I am not seeking nirvana, because I frankly almost fall asleep when I achieve nirvana of my soul. I have serenity of my soul, and I'm bored to death. You see, that's the problem. I have a natural serenity of soul called nirvana, particularly at night after the show is over and I've eaten dinner, and I lay down in bed to watch television. I approach nirvana from the alpha waves of the television. I actually approach the highest good of mankind when I'm laying in bed watching television. I was seeing one of the things I like about television at night is that you can cruise around and find so many interesting things. Don't underestimate the genius behind some of these shows. So I was watching a show on 1,000 Ways to Die on Spike Television. I know you say, oh, that's below. You know it is. It was very funny. And then there was another show on all the germs around us. And they show a guy who goes to a, what do you call it? Oh, yoga studio, very popular against today. Especially amongst women who are trying to suppress their sexual desires, they get into yoga for some reason. I don't know if it works. Allegedly it does. But nevertheless, they show a guy going into a yoga studio, and then they do a microscopic zoom into the yoga mat that he's on, and they show the sweat coming off his body from the yoga. I didn't even know you sweat during yoga. I don't understand that part of it, but I don't like sweating when I exercise. I think it's very unhealthy. So they show the guy sweating while performing yoga on a mat with the foot up in the air and the this and the that. And then they show his droplet of sweat or the droplets of sweat hitting the yoga mat and how the moisture invigorates or reinvigorates the bacteria that are dormant in the mat from the last person who used the mat and how they start to proliferate, the bacteria do, on the yoga mat. And it's true. I don't like gyms at all, whether it's yoga or I don't go to gyms. I don't like the touching. It's like a supermarket cart. A gym to me is like a giant supermarket cart, you know, touching the barbell equipment and the guy. I don't know, the whole thing. I got dumbbells I use in the morning out on the deck looking at the bay. I do a very mild exercise. You're not interested. I'm just telling you. The dog is even bored of it. I do a mild dad. I do some push-ups. I ride a bicycle, and I pray a lot. And I thank God for giving me the serenity of my soul that I basically have. To me, I confuse serenity with boredom. I think that boredom and serenity are often confused. Many of us say that we're bored. We're actually serene. We don't even understand we've achieved nirvana. No, the next time you're bored, realize that you're actually serene. It's just that you're an American, and you've been told that if you're feeling calm, you're actually bored, and that's all part of the consumerism of the society to make you go out and either consume a movie or a book or buy a meal or look for entertainment. But you don't really need any of that. It reminds me of Huxley's Brave New World, where they conditioned the embryos in the factories, you remember? Where they take the embryos and then they raise them as little babies, and then they condition them to reject pictures of the countryside. They give them mild electric shocks in Brave New World, and then the observer says, well, why are they giving the little babies electric shocks as they're crawling towards a picture of the great outdoors? And the man says, that's because the state has deemed that consumerism is the most important attribute of any member of society, and we do not want them to go into the wilderness or into the woods and enjoy nature because they're not spending anything. And I notice what I just said to you. How many of you go out into the outdoors today without buying hundreds, if not thousands of dollars worth of consumer gear? How many of you still walk in nature without having purchased some garbage? None of you. See, I don't even go in the woods anymore. I used to love going to the mountains above Lake Tahoe in the winter. I used to like to go there in a blizzard or a near blizzard condition, and I would walk. I mean, not to die or anything. I won't go there anymore. I don't like ski-doos. I can't stand noise. Why would I go out there to listen to some moron shooting by on an outboard motor? The same way someone hates me for going by in my boat with an outboard motor, hates me in my powerboat while they're going out in a kayak. I understand the world. You know, it's depends upon your perspective and where you're at. Nevertheless, the fact of the matter is you do not go into the wilderness anymore without gear. And that is because you become a perfect consumer of things. Look at all of these stores, the sporting goods stores, the climbing, rock climbing. You have to buy things to climb a rock. You have to buy things, excuse me, to go for a nature hike. You have to buy things to hike. Why? Because you're the perfect consumer. You see how it works? So enjoy it. Buy the things. But just understand you're not holier than thou because you're going out in the woods. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Take a deep breath in. Hold your breath. Okay, breathe out. Breathe in with Mike. Breathe in with Captain Mike. Everyone breathe out in your cars. Out. We're having a giant savage meditation. We're going to levitate the Occupy movements. All together now, we're going to levitate the vermin out of the parks. Everyone now, breathe in. Envision the vermin going home to their mommies with the sniffles. Now breathe out. The Lord of the Flies are all going to go home to New Jersey, Brooklyn, and Queens with the sniffles. Are they going to sue the city for cutting off their electric power? Oh, sure. Oh, yes. What a country. Only in America. Only in America. Only in America. I saw two people lost their child, a pregnant woman and her husband, moved from California to Hawaii. They were poor. And they went to Safeway. They bought $50 worth of goods. And then they bought two sandwiches for $5. They ate one in the store, which I've done, and you kept the wrapper, right, to pay on the way out. And they forgot to pay for the sandwiches. The security guard arrested them, called the police in Honolulu. I'm not making this up. The Honolulu police called the rats in the Child Protective Service who took their child away screaming and crying over a $5 sandwich, I swear to God. Shame on Safeway. Shame on Safeway for this policy. Shame on you. Shame on you. Maybe they did forget the wrapper. Okay? Unbelievable to me. They took the child away. And shame on the Honolulu police. What a bunch of cowards. What a bunch of cowards. You got out of control situations in Honolulu with real crime, and you arrest the couple and take their child away from them? That's why people hate the police. And I'm a supporter of the police. But when I read a story like this, I'm sick of the police running around with guns. 40 caliber guns to arrest a person over a $5 sandwich at Safeway? What a country. A guy robs $1.2 billion from another solo loan, and nobody arrests him. John Corzine, $900 million disappears in his company, and he declares bankruptcy. No one arrests him. But a sandwich for $5, they take a kid away. Savage Nation. And I've been talking about a lot of different things. I mean, the sandwiches. How could you arrest parents? Let's say they even stole a sandwich, for argument's sake. Let's take, again, it's like the Herman Cain thing. Let's say he did say to one of the women, you're cute. Man, you're good looking. So what? So what? What world do you live in? That's the biggest crime of the century? How about the crimes Obama has committed every day and no one's talking about it? To throw mud in your eye, you idiots, you. So the couple goes and they buy $50 worth of goods and they pay for it and they forget to pay for two sandwiches. And they call the cops at Safeway, the dumb security guard. Maybe he had no choice. Maybe that's Safeway's policy. No matter what you shoplift, maybe they were tired of being ripped off. Shouldn't there be some discernment somewhere? Somewhere along the way they say, look, two sandwiches. Okay, they meant to pay for it. They didn't. They did pay for $50 worth of groceries. They took their child away. But I don't want to talk about it. What are you going to say? That I'm right, I'm wrong, you agree with me, it's outrageous. It's pointless. Let's talk instead about the sex cells. And so we know that the bums in the parks of America with the Occupy movements are basically there for the drugs and the sex, and they have nothing to do with their lives. They're unemployable, and they're unemployed because they're unemployable. They're unemployable because of their attitudes. Their attitudes and their lack of training. They have nothing that they have anyone needs. They have no product or service that anybody in the world wants. There's nothing to do with corporate America. It has to do with the fact that they went to school and studied something no one needs, or they never went to school, that's all. So now they're rutting in the tents like mink in heat. And now they're all testing for AIDS, HIV, other STDs before they go home to mommy with the sniffles. What they should have learned is what my mother said. Sex is dirty, especially if you're laying in a tent with a stranger. What do you expect to happen? What do you expect is going to come out of it? Something good? And so years ago, Beowulf, what is the date of that call, of my mother's call? Do you have a date on it? I wish we did. 2003. So my mother was about 85 at the time. She passed a few years after that, and I called her at her the facility in Florida. I'll never forget as long as I lived. And she set me up, you know. She really was smart, and she had a sense of timing that was astounding. And she caught me, the wise guy talk show host, off guard. Listen to this cut from Mama Savage and Michael on the No Sex. Listen.
What do you think is the secret to longevity?
What's the secret?
Yeah. Because you're an elder. You're 83.
Yeah, in my case, what it is, I think.
What?
No sex.
No sex. Well, that in San Francisco is a sin, what you just said, because these people believe that the more is better.
Right, let's stop right there. It's very funny. She set me up. She set me up. She had a sense of timing. She always had. She should have been in show business, my mother, but she was burdened with life's problems. She didn't have a chance. So here I am. Here I am. No sex. But they don't believe that today. They think that more sex is better. You know, if it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road? And look what we have as a result. Look what we have as a result. There's a lot to be said for sexual repression. That's almost like sacrilege to say that you should suppress sexuality. It's almost pornographic what I just said to you, that you should suppress sexuality in an over-sexualized society. All of Western civilization was created because of repressed sexuality. I've read that too. It's actually a very good theory. You take that energy and you harness that energy and you do something with it other than rut like a mink in a dirty tent. You write something, you paint something, you come up with something, you create something, you build a business, you raise a child. That's what you do with the energy. You don't have to, you know, run around day and night looking for sexual outlets like the vermin in Hollywood tell you do. They're so happy. Take a look at them. That's why they're in and out of rehab. They're doing so well, that's why they're in and out of rehab. Play some music. How about if I were a rich man and I wanted to hear immediately in the back of my head? I don't know why. I don't know why I wanted to hear Fiddler on the Roof. This song could be dedicated to some of Obama's supporters, but that wouldn't work, truthfully. If I said that, it'd be misconstrued.
All day long I'd biddy-biddy-bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to
work. What's this with Greece? Why is Greece now the linchpin of this collapse of the world? Well, you know, it's an interesting, metaphorically, it's a very interesting concept that Western civilization is based upon the thinkers, the Greek, you know, the Greek logicians or philosophers of thousands of years ago, it's very fitting that all of the West should collapse based upon the Greek laziness of today. Why are they? Is it lazy or is it the socialist government? There was a time Greeks worked. It's not always been like this. Homeland to monitor. Oh, whatever. Greek leak. What is this now? Greek voice. What is this? What is it? Military chiefs reply. Again, it's the movie Z by Kazantzakis. Kazantzakis didn't do Z, sorry. Kazantzakis wrote some other great books. I forget who did the movie Z. I love that movie. It was a leftist movie about the right-wing takeover in Greece. We should only have a right-wing takeover. Maybe they go to work again. Cut off the social services and make them work for a living. Now, this is what happens. You see, this is interesting. Greece is to Europe what the bums in Zucchini Park are to America, or to the middle class. The bums in the parks of America were screaming, corporate this and bail me out. They want you, the middle class, to support them, even though they don't provide anything anyone needs. In other words, they're bums. Greece is the Occupy movement of Europe. All they do is sit around smoking and complaining and polluting the atmosphere and destroying the Parthenon with fumes. It's sad. I mean, it's a beautiful civilization, but its time has come. I mean, it's like Portugal was once a world power. Where are they today? The rich live behind 40-foot walls outside of Lisbon. That's where America's going. I saw this coming 15 years ago. I told my family, eventually the middle class here is going to have to be like in Brazil, living behind gates with armed guards. Guys with, like, shotguns walking around to protect your property. That's coming here. What is a unique? America's unique in that regard. Its uniqueness is over. Take a look who the president is. A communist radical took over the government. What do you expect? He's like Chavez. He's like the guy from Bolivia. There's no difference. Same exact mentality. They're all his buddies. They think the same way, same wavelength. And the cronyism. The cronyism is shocking. You talk about corruption. So now Greece is the linchpin all of a sudden. What happens if the Europeans were never permitted to vote on whether they should be members of the EU because the sentiment in Europe is against joining this new communist empire called the EU. The EU is new communism in plain English. It's a soft form of communism, albeit it's not a Soviet-style communism. Make no mistake about it. It's a market-based socialism, but it's a new communism. That's what the EU is. It's a giant welfare state. So you take a productive nation like Germany, where the people are still have a work ethic, and they're being told, you have to support the bums of Greece who have no desire to work. Why should they do that? Why should they bail out Greece? Why shouldn't Greece be allowed to fall and have runaway inflation until eventually they pick themselves up by their own souvlaki? I don't understand this. Why do the Europeans insist upon the EU? Because there's more power and fewer hands in plain English. Plain English, that's all. It's socialism. The Greek market teetered and stock markets around the world plummeted today after a hard-won European plan to save the Greek economy was suddenly thrown into doubt by the prospect of a public vote. One day after Prime Minister George Papandreou stunned Europe by calling for a referendum, blah, 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 with the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged almost 300 points. So there it is. The government is not falling. It's like Z all over again, the movie Z. You have to watch that movie. It's pretty interesting. So the Europeans now have to bail out Greece, which is quite telling in its own regard. But I would say let Greece fall. My position would be let Greece fall, dissolve the EU. It was a noble idea that failed. It never could work because the socialists are who wanted the EU to begin with. The people who believe in individual freedom and did not want to be dictated to by a group of child molesters from Brussels always opposed joining the EU, but no one ever asked the people to vote on it. And maybe they could regain their sovereignty and reestablish their borders, language, and culture all over again. Nationalism could rise in all of these nations. I don't mean an unhealthy nationalism. There's a huge chasm between a healthy nationalism and an unhealthy nationalism. An unhealthy nationalism becomes fascism. But a nation without nationalism becomes nothing. And we are becoming a nothing nation because not one politician will talk about our borders, language, and culture the way I do. Not one. You understand that? 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Let's go to the callers. Chico, California. Mike, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
I'd like to comment on why your ratings are going up.
Please.
And my idea is that It's because of many people like myself in our mid-30s who relate to many of your stories from your mid-30s running to the top of the hill and such. But, you know, we are old enough that, like, my grandfather was a World War II veteran, proud to be an American. You didn't disparage any American aspect in front of him. I'm old
yes.
enough to have experienced that, but then still young enough to have gone through school and been taught to be ashamed of all of that. And
can you imagine that we have a generation being taught by these communist bums in colleges and high schools that America's no good? Can you imagine that these left-wing rats have so infected our society that they've tried to brainwash an entire generation to hate the very nation that gives us everything?
I'm raising three school children right now that are in elementary school. It sickens me to even see what they're doing now. And
well, look, I know it. I mean, I raised two children who were adults. You've got to go to the teachers and you've got to tell them that you can't do that to my children. I love this country. Stop telling them to hate my country. I know it's hard to do, and don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of these little cowards with teaching credentials. They're nothing. If they're going to teach your child to hate this country and to just go out there and have free love and use dope, then they're practicing child abuse as far as I'm concerned. Wisconsin Ed, you're on the Savage Nation.
Dr. Savage, this is the best time of the day. I walked through the leaves over to my little clubhouse, which sits above a glen that did remind you of Ireland, have an Irish beer, smoke a stogie, and listen to Michael Savage.
That's interesting. So I'm kind of like a buddy in the cabin with you.
That's right. That's right. I listen to the old sage and get mad just like you at all these politicians.
Yeah, well, yeah. Someone has to get mad at them because this is getting worse, not better. When I read that John Boehner says he understands the Occupy people, I mean, what does that tell you about the so-called Republican Party and why they're trying to shaft a Kane?
They're Casper milquetoasts. We need to
absolutely
clean house.
You know, I appreciate your call. Let me send you a copy of Abuse of Power to while away your time in that cabin. I'm reading a book. I wish I had it. It's in the car outside the studio. It's about the World War II fighter pilots who basically won the Pacific Air War against the Japanese, who were phenomenal warriors, by the way. The Japanese war. Don't underestimate how good they were. The Japanese Zero was a better plane than we had at the time. The Japanese carriers were more advanced than ours at the time. And these guys basically were engaged in a suicide mission in every flight. They didn't expect to come back. You think that only the other side had kamikaze flights? Most of these guys never expected to come back from any one of their missions. And it was these guys who saved us in the Pacific. So I'm reading about the heroism of these men and the daring and the kind of admirals and leaders that we had in the military. And I'm just astounded when I compare it to guys like Admiral Mullen. Admiral Mullen, the empty suit, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I can't imagine us ever winning another war. Look at what just happened in Libya. Take a look at how long it took for Hillary to gloat. We came, we saw, he died. Now, could you imagine, by the way, it's a separate story. Can you imagine if a Republican came back with that macho attitude and laughed and gloated over killing a head of state? We came, we saw, he died. Can you imagine what the rats in the media who are attacking Kane today over some alleged thing he may have said to a woman 12 years ago would say if a Republican had said, we came, we saw, he died after Saddam Hussein was killed by Bush? Can you imagine if Bush had said a thing like that? You're living in an Alice in Wonderland world where I don't have to tell you what I've written about for so many years. All I can tell you is that we still have a hardcore in this country, mainly in the Midwest and the South, who will save our bacon again if the time comes. You will not be saved if the time comes by the rats in the tents in the Occupy movement. They'll run like scared little rabbits. I'll be right back. I was mentioning before the break is called Pacific Air, How Fearless Flyboys, Peerless Aircraft, and Fast Flat Tops Conquered the Skies in the War with Japan by David Sears, S-E-A-R-S, published by the Kappa Press. And it's the exhilarating epic story of the heroic fighter pilots whose fast-flying planes turned the tide in the Pacific Theater during World War II. If you want to be inspired, you know, this is the kind of book, if you like this kind of thing, And you have to see where the admirals were. Like, you go to Hawaii, you see King Road or Nimitz Road. They're named for great admirals, great war leaders. That's when America was still great, when we remembered our great war leaders. Look at where we are today. They're interchangeable corporate executives. They could work for a soda company or a pencil manufacturer, and then they put them in the military or vice versa. It doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just a terrible thing of what's happened to this country. It's a result of 50 years of a mildewing of the mind. 50 years of a mildewing of the mind. This is what one of the results are. Now, whether we could ever return to that place, I don't know. I really don't know if we could. I don't know if we can ever turn this nation around again. It's like a ship that's on the wrong course. You know, there's so many bad metaphors I could use that I'd rather not even bother. Anyway, it's a good book if you're interested and inspired by this. I love to watch military history at night. It's one of my favorite channels. And I like especially to see the segment on the Nazis, because you know they're all going to die in the end, that they brought such destruction to their own nation. How good they looked with their beautiful uniforms and their crisp slogans and their marching. And look how it ended. They destroyed their own nation. Why? You have to ask yourself why. And what is it America fears about nationalism? It's always Hitler, isn't it? But does nationalism always lead to fascism? No, it does not. There was a time when this country was highly nationalistic, and it was the farthest thing from fascist. And that's the world that I actually still live in. Sort of a 1950s Boy Scouts view of America. That's the world I live in, and for me, that's my world. I'm not going to be warped by the leftists who have poisoned the minds of so many Americans. I still love America. I think America is the greatest country on earth despite all of its flaws. And the reason we see so many discontents in the nation today are certainly manifold. I'm not going to give you a single answer. But one of the primary reasons is that so many in the population have been brainwashed into believing that somebody owes them a living, that somebody else should pay them a lifetime sinecure for nothing, that they're entitled to a house, they're entitled to a job. That's if they even want to work. Many of them don't even want to work. They just want the house and the free food. That's how far it's fallen. They actually think there's something for nothing. I have a place up in a hill that I go to once in a while. And I went there recently, and there's a bobcat running around the property. And it actually tried to stare me down, and I stared him down because I carry a .357 Magnum. And I said, look, guy, here's the way it works. It's my house, not yours. I'm not an ordinary Marin County personality who's going to go call 911. Don't come down the steps because it'll... All right, I'm saying mind games. So the bobcat left. Doesn't make me a tough... Now this thing keeps coming around wanting to live on my deck. Every time I come out, it runs away. Why? He's like an occupier. The bobcat is like the Occupy movement. The Occupy movement, in other words, are like animals without the dignity of an animal. The animal wants a warm place for the coming cold weather and a dry place. He wants my couch and my porch to live on for the winter, like the bums in Zucchini Park, like the bums in Oakland. He's entitled to it. He's been told his whole life, like a bobcat. Hasn't been told, but he just assumes if it's empty, he's going to take it. But they've been told that they're entitled to a roof over there. Where is it written that you're entitled to a roof over your head? Who gave it to me? Who gave me a roof over my head? You did, you bum you? You gave me nothing. I'm not entitled to anything. Everything I have, I had to earn. Why should I give you something that you're not entitled to? Why should you rape me for more taxes? And I represent the majority of working Americans. I don't care whether they're a member of a union or not. They are taxed to death, and they're sick and tired of bums like that and the bum in the White House telling them that he's on their side. Why do you think they're doing it? If we had a legitimate federal government, this never would have happened.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Okay, here are some of the stories we've been covering. Lord of the Flies is going on in Zucchini Park in New York. You know those folks, the ones who ran home with the sniffles when it snowed. Well, they're all being tested, at least many of them are running for STD testing in the local free clinic for bums and other hobos. You see, there's been so much free love in Zucchini Park. Well, you got the rest of the picture. I guess my mother was right when she said, sex is dirty. How about Herman Cain and sex? Nobody will identify who the women are because they were so damaged by it. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. Who do you think poses a greater threat to America, Herman Cain or Wolf Blitzer? What scandals does the press refuse to cover about Obama? They say that he's a free of all scandals. Solargate, Wiregate, Fast and Furious Gate, guns to Mexico, billions of dollars to fake green companies, solar companies that are not existent, that produce no products. Unbelievable to me. How about wars? Wars. The war in Libya. Oh, it's over, but therefore it's legal? That doesn't matter to you? How about the takeover of General Motors? How about the illegal Obamacare? Obviously, Obama and his minions are trying to overload the media with fake news and fake scandals, such as the fake Herman Cain issue and the divorce of a Hollywood harlot with a big butt in order to overload the system and make you forget what Obama has done to this country. 1-800-449-8255. Yes, it's Occupy Wall Street, not Wall Street. The protesters are flocking to nearby health clinics for HIV and STD testing. You see, they were having so much fun before the snow hit. Well, you get it. Now they're going to free clinics. And I guess in the middle of all of that healthy protesting against capitalism, they needed some free medical care. Who's going to pay for it? Well, nobody. Scandal-free? A jobs panel member whose solar firm won a loan guarantee of nearly $2 billion under the Obama administration is pushing for more government-backed investment in renewable energy. That's right. The chairman and CEO, Lewis Hay, of the company Next Era Energy, sits on the president's council on jobs. You talk about the fox guarding the chicken coop. This is beyond belief. Well, last month, his jobs council issued a report calling for, among other things, a new federal financing program to attract private investment for clean energy projects. And guess who agrees with him? Why? Nancy Pelosi and Barack Obama. Obama. Barack Obama. That's right. Another $1.2 billion. Barack Obama. Occupy Wall Street. Lord of the Flies in Zucchini Park. But today's show is really also about, well, it's also about a lot of other things. I mean, there's a lot going on. The stock market dropped almost 300 points today. Who would you blame that on? The Greeks? Who in the media have you seen attack Herman Cain in the most vicious manner? Yesterday, I called Herman Cain the Great Black Hope. Who in the media has stolen this phrase? The Great Black Hope. Who's stolen it so far? And yet, Herman Cain has actually experienced a surge in fundraising since he was smeared with false allegations. Even if the allegations are true, let us say he said something to some women while he was this with the Restaurant Association. Should that disqualify him? Apparently, to the people out there who don't really want anyone to replace the socialist in power, yes. And on MichaelSavage.com, again, I have to direct you to the free chapter of Abuse of Power. Many of you, I'm sad to say, have not even bothered to download the free chapter. I don't know why. You know, it's a great... You know what fiction is? I was in a doctor's office today, and I said who I was. He said, well, I don't listen to radio. I said, you do read, don't you? And he said, well, yes, of course, I only read fiction. I said, well, I have a best-selling novel. He said, I only read fiction. I said, a novel is fiction, sir. A novel is not I'll have to look into that. Yeah, I said, well, look into Abuse of Power, Doc. You might actually enjoy it. Anyway, you can get a free chapter up on MichaelSavage.com. Free Love at Occupy Wall Street, free chapter of Abuse of Power. The Great Black Hope is another free phrase for Herman Cain. The New York Stock Exchange invoked a free trading rule as Dow plummets. Actually, they don't want free trading. Obama advises green firm got $2 billion loan guarantee. That's another freebie. What else is free? Well, anything that Obama wants to be free. Here's John Corzine, former senator from New Jersey who bankrupted New Jersey. Right? former head of Goldman Sachs. $700 million in customers' investment money is missing, John. Where did it go? Well, you know, The Sopranos was set in New Jersey. What more do I have to say? The difference is their names all ended in a soft vowel. Oop, sorry. That's a little too close to the truth. What else is on MichaelSavage.com? House to take up in God We Trust resolution. The very angry First Lady Michelle Obama. The Israeli army launches an Arabic Facebook page. Duh. Okay. Savage reads from Abuse of Power. Lesbian couple voted homecoming queen and king. No comment. Saudis behead a man in a parking lot for sorcery. Illegal alien arrested in girl's murder. Another illegal alien pled guilty in running over a nun in a crosswalk while drunk driving. He had been convicted of drunk driving twice before, but because of Obama's policies, the streets are awash with drunk illegal aliens. And yet, what's the big news? A left-wing group says carcinogens exist in a popular baby shampoo. Oh, I think that's the biggest problem on earth. And carcinogens in a baby shampoo? Well, you're not drinking it, schmuck. Use soap if it doesn't. Whatever. Who cares what you do? Come on, that's ridiculous. But identity theft is something you have to take seriously. What if someone stole your credit cards and tried to destroy your life? Don't be a victim. Call my advertiser, LifeLock, today. Call LifeLock now at 1-800-LOCK-485 and get 60 risk-free days just for Savage listeners. 1-800-LOCK-485. Call them now. Anyway, the scandals keep growing. The money keeps disappearing. And Kane is the great black hope. But a lot about today's show is really about the sound. We played my mother, may she rest in peace. She passed away 5, 6, 7 years ago already. And she had some things to say about longevity. In fact, she said that sex is dirty. Seeing what's going on in Zucchini Park, Mom, you are right. You are really right. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. We'll talk about all these topics and more right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Anti-whaling boat damaged during protest at sea. Screw them. First of all, I'm against whaling. Let's start with that. But I'm also against the anti-whalers. I don't know. How do you explain that? I'm anti-whaling, but I'm anti-whaling people. And I'll tell you why. In other words, pass a law which outlaws whaling. That's all, if you have a sympathy for the whale. But I don't like the renegades in the anti-whaling boats. They're self-righteous liberal frauds, most of them, I found. They're troublemakers, basically. They should go into the military and, you know, volunteer on the front line instead of attacking Japanese whale boats. I have a mixed feeling about the anti-whalers. I don't know how to explain it. I don't look up to them. I don't think that they're great heroes. I mean, I don't like seeing whales getting killed. I mean, I don't eat them. The Japanese seem to love whale. Why, I don't know. I mean, when one race likes gefilte fish, another race likes a whale. I wouldn't eat whale. I don't eat endangered species. But there are other topics out there. 1-800-449-8255. Let's say a government edict comes down that says you can't talk about politics on one side, whatever. You have to have both sides of every issue be like, you know, fake. I don't have to do politics. I have a bigger audience than ever. Most of the others would go out of business because they're one-note Johnnies. They can only do Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, and that's the end of it. If I had to, I could play rock and roll. I could do cooking. I could do cooking. I could do menus. I could do rock and roll. I could do a little science. I could do poetry. I could read history, and I'd still have a good show. Wouldn't matter to me because I have the capacity, because I have the education. I'm proud to admit it. What is an education worth other than the ability to take the education and to share it with others in a friendly way, in an entertaining way? Otherwise, well, take your education and, you know, throw it out the window. What good is an education? I'm highly educated. I'm overeducated in some ways. But I use it. I try to spread it out there. It's a gift. It's a blessing. Remember I did Jewish New Year sermon It's interesting to me that only Christians called to thank me. Jews didn't. That's the interesting part to show you what's going on in the world here. I write a Rosh Hashanah sermon. I get one call after another from good Christians and email after email thanking me. I don't get one letter from a Jewish person. So, all right, that's the way the world is. I don't expect anything from anybody. I do it because I think it's the right thing to do. I thought it was a decent piece. I put it on the website. I got an email from an Orthodox rabbi who says, Michael Savage, he said, can I please have that translated for you into Hebrew? I actually asked him, to be frank. I remember now. I said to him, can you have a Hebrew scholar take my words and translate them precisely into the Hebrew? And then I want a Kabbalist, that's a mystical Jewish scholar, to read the Hebrew version of my English sermon, and I want the Kabbalist to tell me what the white between the darkness and the letters says. Then I'll know what I was saying. And the reason I said that to you is that if you studied the Kabbalah, unlike a certain 50-plus singer-dancer-hooker look, who's of course calls herself Kabbalah to sell holy water, if you actually talk to Kabbalists, as I have done over my years, and I'm certainly not one myself, it's a mystical Jewish sect going back to the 13th century. They will tell you that the message from God, the messages from God, are to be found not in the black ink of the letters, but in the white spaces found within the black ink in Hebrew. This is an amazing statement. Now, of course, it has double meanings unto itself. So when I write a sermon in English, I have no idea what the translation is going to be in Hebrew. Moreover, I don't know what the translation is going to be in the whites of the letters in Hebrew. And the day I find out, I will share it with you. So to me, this is also talk radio. It's also interesting to me. And if you don't like religion, we can do horoscopes, which I still read every day. I have an addiction to reading Sally Brompton. Because so many times this horoscope is, and I know the Bible bans it, you know, don't go to, whatever, what can I do? I mean, if I'm not a biblical, you know, absolutist. If I were, I would have been stricken dead at birth. It's a tarot, sorry, God. I'm not joking. I'm just a fallen, I'm like everybody else. Last update, today's Mars-Jupiter link-up is full of potential, especially if you're the sort of Aries who acts fast and likes to be first. Anything is possible if you want it enough, so put a name to your desire, then go out and get it. Who's going to stop you? All right, terrific. I have no idea what that one means. Some of them, you know, have no meaning at all, so I don't read them every day. Two English bulldogs, male and female. Oh, it's in a classified ad. Then a guy with abs, you take a supplement, then you look like him. Tika Dukic, amateur boxer. Would I want to look like that in the mirror? It's terrible to look that way. What if you're ripped like that without an ounce of body fat on? You can only go downhill from there. You could never have a taco again for the rest of your life. It's better to be kind of in good shape but not perfect. It's like everything else. It's better to be fairly successful but not too successful. Because if you're too successful, there's only one way you can go from there. And as Jimmy Durante said, you better be awfully nice to everyone you meet on the way up. Guess you're going to meet them all on the way down. I love that one. There goes the voice for the day. It's true. It's true how that works. In some fields, it's true. Not in my case because I'm a recluse. I don't know anybody. And because I don't know anybody, who am I going to meet on the way down? very funny. So, here's the callers. Richard, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, God bless you. I think you should keep the program exactly like it is. I think if you followed a more structured format, it might become something other than what it is. And I love the way you go from religion to politics to the glint in an animal's eye and to meatballs in the next breath, and it all comes together like an
beautiful. Animal. Well, that's very nice. I mean, I try to just follow a flow inside my head, my soul, whatever, because I know how hard it is to listen to talk radio. Everyone is busy. Everyone's got to make a buck. There are so many options today compared to when I began in 1994 in radio. You know, I got to go back. Look, Richard, first of all, thank you. But let me say this. In San Francisco alone, there were 72 radio stations when I began and no one had heard of me. And I made a name for myself moving to number one in news and talk after a few years. Okay. I understand that. But you look at the blizzard out there in the media in general. From cable channels to iPods to whatever, it's astounding to me that people listen to talk radio at all when you consider all of their options. And so, therefore, you have to keep it moving and you have to be diverse in your thoughts, or people are going to tune out. I mean, how much can I just be didactically telling people that Obama's a neocon, which he is, and explaining that the czars are indicative of the man's tyrannical tendencies and so forth and so on, until people say, I heard that, goodbye. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. I work by myself all day long, and you keep me thinking. You keep me on my toes.
Tom, thanks for calling. Tom, what's on your mind? Go ahead, please.
Michael Vasquez, surgeon from New York. I just wanted to say, I know people are getting sick of it, but you got to keep. That's really the only thing we have, you know. I don't know.
Well, I talk to people from time to time, and the ones who know what's going on say to me, "How could this man be dismantling everything in this country so rapidly without an outcry? How is this happening?"
Yeah. Well, look, I speak to doctors all day, every day, and with the exception of a few real lefty people, there are absolutely no people. None of the physicians are in support of of the bill and reform. It makes absolutely—
But they have Dr. Flax going on television saying how great it'll be. I've seen them. You know, who are those guys?
Well, look, the AMA is not practicing or clinical physicians. These are a bunch of administrators. We all know, having practiced clinical medicine and who knows how long, nobody that I know participates in the AMA or belongs.
Well, thank you for the call, Tom. Much appreciated.
Savage.
Obama administration and the Socialist Democrat Party USA are trying to stop the use of natural medicine, vitamins, herbs, right? You'd think that's something mean conservatives would do. Oh, no. No, no, it's your good Democrats don't want you to use vitamins. Well, joining us to talk about this is Dr. Harry Preuss, president of the American College of Nutrition and a tenured professor of medicine and pathology at Georgetown U. Dr. Preuss, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's great to talk to you.
Please tell my audience about the American Medical Association report on the use of vitamin and mineral supplements.
Well, Michael, that's been a very difficult topic, and it seems to come up every 2 or 3 years. There's some sort of report that comes out on the usefulness of taking multivitamins. I might start off by saying that I take a daily multivitamin for various reasons, because I think in our diets we don't have all the necessary vitamins and minerals, and I like to cover them by taking an extra supplement. Now, the report that recently came out, as you look over it, there is really too much to talk about, but basically the study, in my opinion, was not done very well. It was a subjective sort of study. There was a lot of fooling around with the data, again, my opinion, and I would say that it really didn't prove the point that it was supposed to prove. And my own recommendation is that I would tell people, take a daily multivitamin, and depending on your status, watch the iron content. Keep it low if you don't need iron. But other than that, I think it's a wise choice to take a multivitamin daily.
What is the government doing to stop the use of natural medicine?
The government is not fully supporting natural medicine. I can't tell you the reasons why, but it's my job to go out and do research on this and find out what works and doesn't work. As you're well aware, that in life, there's people on one side of the issue, and there's people on the other side of the issue, and usually the truth is somewhere in the middle. I do research. I can give you my research. People will come up to me and say, well, you mentioned this about this prostate formula that'll cut down the symptomatology of a big prostate, and I'll say, yeah, go to my randomized double-blind placebo-controlled study on 100 people, and they'll show you the data. But I'm in the laboratory all the time. I'm coming up with new ideas. I'm still in the learning process. And that's why it's so good that we're starting a new website to try to keep keep their information up on nutritionals. They're very important. They play an important part of your life. And if you go to Nutraspace.com, which is one of the sites that I'm writing for, you'll see that there are new things coming along. I'm supposed to be an expert in the field of nutrition, and I'm learning constantly. So I don't think the government is necessarily blocking it for any purpose, but I think that it's not as exciting to people, and it's tougher to prove over the long run that you can prevent chronic illnesses by taking good nutrition and supplements.
So Obamacare is being used to pound alternative medicine into submission?
I'm not sure that Obamacare is being used for that. I think it's a difficult subject about Obamacare. I have my various reservations. I have relatives that work at emergency rooms. I think they're overcrowded right now. I think that what's coming up is with this Obamacare, we're going to have a deluge of new patients coming in the emergency room. They can't handle it now. They won't be able to handle it in the future.
Well, wouldn't the problem be solved if the government just stayed out of the way of vitamins and minerals and herbs and homeopathy?
No, I think there's a moderate plan. I'm not down fully on the government. But I think that we've got to, each individual has to look into his own health problems.
Dr. Proust, thanks for joining us today on the Savage Nation. The world is upside down.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you, Michael. The public can get a lot of information from Nutraspace.com, and I hope they're able to look at my book, The Natural Fat Loss Pharmacy. All these things should help them to live a longer, more productive lifespan.
I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Shouldn't be in this business. If you don't have the guts to get up here and say, here's how I see it and I make judgment upon thee, then you can't be a talk show host. You could be a disc jockey, whatever, but you can't be a talk show host. So you're taking a big chance when you do it, because those who you are judging are going to judge you back, and they're going to throw the brickbats at you anytime they can. And rightly so. They should. They should. But you have to be careful. You have to be careful, because the judgment day will come anyway. You say it came, you know, comes in little spurts, as far as I'm concerned. Every headache is a part of the judgment day. Every arthritic ache is a judgment day. Every tooth that falls out is a judgment day. It's a little bit of what's waiting for us at the end of the road. I mean, we hobble along thinking there's going to be some great reward. The great reward is you wind up in a nursing home, if you're lucky, as I said to you before, completely abandoned by your family, pushed by some illegal immigrant in front of a curtain, and you mutter to yourself, you can't even be heard, as they beat you about the head and neck and steal the small amounts of money that your family leaves you for you know, little things to buy. And that's what awaits you. Phil's laughing right now. I said, Phil, you ought to let them hear the laughter when it comes out. I have a very cynical view of it all. We take vitamins, we jog, we don't eat the fatty foods, and we think there's some great reward. You're going to die like Grandpa, you know, a Ma-Pa kettle. 98, passing away quietly in the sleep as a slight snow falls outside and your grandchildren around you and they're singing. Sure, that's how it ends. Yep, that's how it ends for good people. Not how it ends. No. It's a slow, horrendous suffering for virtually everybody. Unless they get a nice heart attack or a quick stroke or hit by a bolt. This kind of stuff brings up the whole scene, you know, the whole thing. I had a dream again. That same repetitive nightmare I've been having for 15 years came back again last night. Again, I was stuck at Heathrow. Again, I couldn't get on a plane. Again, I had too much luggage, and I'm trying to find a big enough bag to put it all in. Over and over again. I had this dream for years before the UK ban. It was almost like a precognitive view of what was coming, that I was stuck somehow in England. It's amazing to me. But now I'm having it again. I hate traveling. I shouldn't travel anywhere, because every time I have to pack, I don't know about you, but every time I have to pack and select what to take with me, it's like dying. think about what I'm saying. You live in a house. You have everything, your whole life possessions, your books, your manuscripts, the art that you have collected, mementos, photographs, you name it. The things that make home such a familiar, wonderful place for us. So when you go on a trip, you have to reduce it to a suitcase that some sub-moron can rifle through with rubber gloves on. You can go through your most intimate possessions, stick his fingers into your hand cream, and ask you that's unbelievable. The people that you wouldn't want to be on a subway car with have total power of life and death over you. So it makes you think, like, what are you going to take to the next world? Like, how about nothing? You know, God doesn't even want you to have an overnight bag when you go on that trip. No, sir. I don't care what you own. So can I just take an overnight? No, no overnight. Can I take my pillow? No. You know, nothing, not an overnight bag. You can't even take a pet with you. Nothing. As you came into the world, so you leave it. Look at the ancient Chinese. You see how they believed in the afterlife. They used to make their wives jump into the grave, and the Egyptians too. Lucky wife, huh? He dies, that knock off the wives and throw her into the ground too, and the servants and the bodyguards went in there too. Great job working for a rich guy in China thousands of years ago. So then they evolved, you know. They evolved to the point where a nice emperor appeared, and he actually made 40,000, I think it was 40,000 warriors out of ceramic. He didn't want to anymore throw them in the ground. He said, all right, I'm a nice emperor. You don't have to go into the ground with me, into the tomb. So he built a tomb with 40,000 ceramic figures of his bodyguards to take him into the next world. So, you know, this whole concept of the next world and this world and that world, oh, my God, it's so complicated. No wonder people reach for the pill or the bottle or the dope or the easy way out. No, really, you start getting into the theological, it's enough to send you down to the bar, to the neighborhood bar, because people get frightened. And I'm the last one on earth to tell you what to expect. I don't know. I haven't been there yet. But one thing I will tell you is my mother, when I would ask her when I was a child, you know, Ma, what's it like to die? She would say with a smile, God rest her soul, she would say, I don't know. She said, but no one's ever come back to complain. I thought that was I stopped asking when she said that. God bless her. God, Ma, I hope you are in heaven. I hope there is a heaven and you're there. And I hope you're enjoying yourself. I hope you're cooking for God. But she would say it to me as a little boy. I pass it on to you. Make believe you're my family. Many young people listen to me because there are no longer extended families in the country. There are no uncles like me or even fathers like me, truthfully, in that regard. So you don't know how to answer that question? Tell your child when he asks, Mom, what is death like, or what is blah, blah, blah. Say to him with a smile so your child doesn't feel your anxiety. We know you're frightened inside over the question. Say, I don't know what it's like, but no one's ever come back to complain. Take it from my mom, Mrs. Mama Savage. She said it to me. I hope she was right. God, did she suffer in the end? Oh, God, why did she suffer? She didn't suffer enough in this life. They had to give her a little reward at the end, a little suffering at the end, to go along with the suffering of her whole life. They had to throw a little more at her. Oh, yeah. So you think you want to get me going on my cynicism? I've been cynical since I'm 7. But it doesn't stop me from getting up every morning and doing a few push-ups, doing a little workout for about a time. I've reduced it to the bare minimum now. I reduced the workout to an absolute bare minimum. What is the minimum a man needs in order to work out to not become complete and total, no muscle tone? And what is the bare minimum he needs to do in order to not drop dead of this, that, and the other thing? It's not a bare, it's called, it's like I approach it from that point of view because there's only so much I'm willing to do. At a certain point, what are you going to do? I want to look like Mr. Abs at 104 to get run over in Coney Island. He was the strongest man in New York, a boxer in the 1920s. He fought in World War II. He won all the medals. And the strong man of Coney Island, kept himself fit, was a vegetarian. And the other day, he's walking in Brooklyn, crosses the street, and gets run over and killed. So what is that all about? 5'4", tough as nails. He must have been 40. When he fought in World War II. That's the one thing I don't understand. He says he won all those. They say he won all those medals in the Pacific. But if he was born, and he's 104 months, he was like 40 when he fought in the Pacific. It's the one part of it I don't understand. But the point of the story is, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow may never come. Or let's put it to you another way. Enjoy yourself, for tomorrow may never come. Or let's put it to you another way. God wants you to have a good time. Let's put it to you that way. He didn't put you here to suffer. Try to have a good time, would you? All right, let's move on.
They take home more than half the money earned each year in this country. That means this 1% now makes more than the other 99% combined. No one deprives them of their prosperity. They've worked hard, and it hasn't been all inherited money. We understand that. But their tremendous fortune, including their tremendous fortunes, means they can afford to contribute a key, tiny fraction more to shore up the economic future of our nation.
Did you hear that? And it's organizations like the AARP who control these leftist politicians. AMAC is fighting back. The Association of Mature American Citizens. Your membership can help stop the left wing. Call 800-255-4199, 800-255-4199, or go to AmericaIsRising.com, 800-255-4199, AmericaIsRising.com. I almost feel like now moving away completely from the politics of the day and almost going into the bars I drank in. The people I ran into, how I feel a little hungover today. I always do very good shows when I have a slight hangover. Not a very severe hangover, but a mild hangover is very, very good for radio, I find. And I've always found it to be very good for radio. I don't know what it is. Let's see, what did I do? So as the curtain of night descended upon the Savage Nation's host, yours truly, Michael Savage, I wandered up to the district known as North Beach in San Francisco, the more or less still Italian district of the city. Actually, I didn't go directly there. I walked up California. I have a certain walk I like, which I'm not going to tell you what it is because I don't want to be, let us say, accosted on the way. But I walked through Chinatown on the way to North Beach because I love Chinatown. The reason I love to walk down Grant Avenue at night is because it gives me hope to see the small merchants closing their stores at night, raising their gates, securing their wares. It reminds me of my father's little store down in New York on Ludlow Street, how they would close the gates at night and lock it up and look with a love at the merchandise that fed their family. Now, you don't see much of this anymore in America. Most of us are so removed from merchandise and being a shopkeeper. But in essence, the small businessman, the small businesswoman, is the core of the capitalist system and always has been and probably always will be, despite the dominance of the great corporations. The small businessman is the key to the survival of a capitalist nation. Anyway, to make a long story short, I also like to see the Chinese people. I like hearing, as I walk down the avenue, the young men, the vigorous young men practicing martial arts in the upstairs studios, either through the drums are also part of the martial arts. I hear them practicing Taekwondo in some of the studios. I mean, I hear everything. I'm like Vincent the Blind Man, if you want to know the truth, because as I walk, although my eyes are open, so are my ears, and I have very sharp ears, and I listen to the sounds of the street. I don't have to know one word of Mandarin to understand what's going on. And I say to myself, you know, this gives me hope. And the reason it gives me hope is because I know that the Islamofascists will never conquer the Chinese, not in China nor in America. I said, are you kidding me? You're telling me these Tongs are going to let the Islamofascists dominate their neighborhood? Never in a million years. They disappear without you even knowing what happened. And there are so many other ethnic enclaves in this country that will never fall under the sway of the sword. That's all I can tell you. They have faced the conqueror in the past, and they have driven the conqueror out. Of course, there are. If you want to get into the history of China and its conquest, then it was conquered by the Muslims at a certain point. But I won't go into that because you don't know that half of China is Muslim and a good half of China was Muslim as a result of conquest. But in the United States of America, I can tell you right now, they don't even know this is going on. I walked through the Chinatown, as I said, smelling the garbage in the street. You step across Broadway, now you're suddenly stepping into the garlic world, the world of garlic and jazz, so to speak, and you're into the Italian district. And for some reason, I went to a place that I haven't been for years. I used to hang out there a lot. It's an Irish bar. And I looked for my friend because I hadn't seen him in years. I stopped hanging out up there a number of years ago. And I went into O'Reilly's Tavern, and there was Miles, an old friend of mine running an Irish tavern. And we talked. I said, how's your son? He's 10 years old. And I haven't seen him in 5 years or more. I remember when he was a little boy in the bar. And I said, you know, I still remember what do they call those, giant dogs? Help me out. I forget. And you know those big dogs, whatever they're called, the Irish something or other. No, not an Irish setter. They're gigantic. They're hounds. They're giant. He had a dog, Fionn. They only live to 6. I love this dog. I watched him grow up in the bar. This dog was so big that he, like a foot, was as bigger than my dog Teddy's entire body. And one of the most beautiful dogs in the world. But he died at six. I said, you know, Miles, I remember your first dog, Fee. And he says, oh, I had a second. And he died too. He says, now I have a third, just a wee puppy. He's still got the Irish whatever. I'm sorry I don't remember the name of the dog. I'm feeling kind of silly right now. I can't. But, you know, it was nice going in there. But on the way in, two guys offered to buy me a drink, and I never accept a drink from a stranger. I'm just that kind of girl. So I didn't accept the drink from the strangers, but we got to talk. It turns out that they're sheriff's deputies from another county in California who just happened to hear my voice and say, I can't believe our luck, and we talked. And we talked about the fact that white men are being driven out of every sheriff's department, out of the highway patrol and every police department in the state of California, being replaced by lesbians, being replaced by primarily Mexicans, being replaced by anyone but a white male.
Savage.